Now, as Steve comes forward, I just wanted to inform you what the ABW, which is American Baptist Women, have had on their plate. We do fundraising projects. We do the pumpkin rolls to help mission projects, purchase new stove for the kitchen, Christmas stockings and Easter baskets for the elderly and shut-in, funeral meals. The church is welcome to use our ABW for that, and we have a generous family that helps us out with meat with that. Help families in need, special missions for families at Christmas each year, Gideon Bibles to church members who are in the hospital in honor of deceased church members. So you get a card saying that donations of Bibles was given in your honor or memory. Send cards each month to birthdays, anniversary, as well as get well cards and sympathy cards. Make greeting cards for the soldiers to send back home to families. Arrange dinner outings for women and church ladies for Mother's Day and Christmas. Arrange meals for church members after surgery or health issues. Made 100 dresses for the Africans for Samaritan's Purse, and a lot of that work was done by Shirley and Early, and then some of the other ladies helped decorate these with buttons and bows and whatever. And then this past year we made 70 plus female hygiene items for girls at Samaritan's Purse boxes. Sunshine bags to lift spirits of those dealing with physically, emotionally, and spiritual issues. Small groups of approximately 7 ladies, we love to have others to join us. It's a rewarding time for fellowship. Come join us. We meet the third Thursday, 6 o'clock each month at Joyce's, and we'll resume in March. And in the past, we've done white bandages, which Lucy and Helen was a big part of, and when we had the sports program, the kids and the parents wanted to join in to help roll bandages. And we've helped with the national ABW with food, baby supplies, and whatever each year was asking for. So Steve, you can jump in.
And it's saying that by the end of the day, we'd like to meet the ladies right after church.
You want a meeting right after church?
Yeah, with the ABW. Just a minute.
Yeah,
after
church. That was hot. It was about 108 in the sun. One of a few shady spots. That was not pleasant. They built the deck first, and then they said, well, we needed like an 18-inch drop. So we had to shovel that dirt under there. Anyways, it's straight here. I'm going to talk for a little bit and then have people come up and share their stories, and then I'll talk some more. Anyways, welcome. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you do for this. We thank you for this opportunity to come to your house and worship and fellowship with your brothers and our brothers and sisters. And we just thank you for the opportunity and many blessings in our lives. And we just hope that we can be a blessing to others. And be with me as we talk up here. And thank you again for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, missions, the Great Commission. What are missions? The dictionary says a mission is a specific task with which a person is or group is charged. A Christian mission is an organized effort for the propagation of the Christian faith. Sometimes individuals are sent or called missionaries. When groups are sent, they're often called mission teams who do mission trips. There are different kinds, short-term, long-term, relational, and those that simply help people in need. Missionaries preach the Christian faith, whether we know it or not, we do. If you're like me, you think of people like Gail Confer. Incidentally, if you weren't here for her talk recently, you really missed a good one. Please go back on our website and watch that, because it's a very powerful message about what our purpose is. So why mission work? Where does that come from in the Bible? Well, let's start with the verse for this message, what we commonly call the Great Commission. Let's read it in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Then again in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In Luke 24:47, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." And finally in John, chapter 20, verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So all four Gospels, that should tell us something. This is very important. It is summarizing his life's work and what to do with it. It's also worth noting that it's the last command that Jesus gives before he ascended into heaven. He'd already been crucified, died, and risen from the dead, and was leaving his disciples. I thought it was kind of like bake at 350 degrees for half an hour, and if you don't follow this last instruction, the rest doesn't matter. Or it's a bit like we learned in medical school, as the patient's leaving, they lean on the door and say, "Oh, by the way, that's what you want to listen to. Pay attention to that last thing." Jesus is more direct than that, but you get the point. It's pretty clear that Jesus wants us to go and tell. So now we're going to have some of those come up. They want to come up and share with their experiences that we've had on different trips that we've done. So come on up. Joyce, you already read that, so thank you. But yeah, anybody that wants to come up and share, please do.
I went with the group to West Virginia. I'm old and a little frail, but worse now than I was then. But it was such a good experience. And where they put us up was at night, after we was done working, had our supper, dinner, whatever you call it. We got back together and just talked and communicated. And it was such a good feeling to know that you were helping somebody else out. And there was other churches there that you got involved with. And everybody went their own way. If you could paint, if you could clean, whatever you went, you did. So, and it wasn't that hot, so.
I don't have too much to say, except I was a tag along. But I did my share, I think. I painted, I cleaned, I picked up rocks. This was in West Virginia. I had a real good time, and they fed you very well, very well. And I also went to South Carolina, was it? For the North Carolina, for the shoe boxes. And that was just awesome. I just would love any time if I could go to a country and watch one child receive this box. It's such a blessing. And we had fun filling the boxes and praying over each box. I would just like to see the children when they open them. It's great. If anybody wants to go on a trip, go. Okay. I was asked to talk about the mission trip that I had done. I have been on several of them. The first one was back in late November 2017, where a group of us here from the church rode on a touring bus with Crystal Hagen and members of her group to the Operation Shoebox Packing Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. This packing center is the largest packing center in the United States. When we were there, I seem to recall there were between 40 and 50 individual packing stations, with at least 8 to 10 working at each station. Part of the process involved opening the shoeboxes and inspecting them for items that are prohibited in the boxes, and putting those items in buckets underneath the table. And later they would take them away to be sent out to us. Then we would take the boxes back up and put them back on the pallet and on the line. On one of the days we were there packing, Franklin Graham made an unexpected appearance, and we would stood around and listen. I'm very much in awe of him. And on that day, Crystal even commented that in all the many years that she had been going to the Packing Center, this was the first time that Franklin Graham had made an appearance. She was very happy to have witnessed this event. And we were also very fortunate to have visited the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. I completely enjoyed visiting this center and was amazed at all of the things that Billy had done over his lifetime. There was a lot of audio and video recordings that you could listen to. I watched and listened to a few, but there wasn't enough time to listen to all of them. I certainly want to go back again in the future tour the place. If you ever get the opportunity to visit the Billy Graham Library, I highly recommend it. The next mission trip was in mid-March 2019 at the Parchment Valley Conference Center in Ripley, West Virginia. This trip was through the Southern Baptist Association. Pastor Chris had also done his theology studies there too. There was a group of us from the church that ran. Some of the people stayed for 5 days, others were only there 3 days. This mission trip was an awesome trip due to everyone being so friendly. Everyone had some task they were asked to do, whether it was painting, cleaning, or for the skilled laborers, like the gold mine and carpenter. We stayed in a very nice and clean house with bedroom, queen size bed, our own bathroom, a good kitchen and living room area. 3 meals a day were provided by Parchment Valley in the main conference center, where we ate and socialized with other people from various churches. It was also prayer time or supper time every morning, and in the evening we all got together for singing and prayer time. In closing, I very much enjoyed each of these mission trips. I'm looking forward to doing more mission trips in the future. There is no greater feeling than getting involved in doing God's work and the blessings that you get back in return for helping others. If you are physically able to do so, I encourage any one of you to get involved.
I'd first like to thank Liberty Baptist Church. Pastor Christopher invited me on a couple of these trips. First went to West Virginia. It's a 1,400 acre property, and they get like 500 kids down there each summer for fellowship. There's a swimming pool. There's a lot for them to do. There's no television and no phones allowed when the kids are down there, which is a plus in my mind. There's deer running around on the property, and there's some blinds up because in the fall they invite veterans, disabled veterans, in to hunt deer. It's a very nice place, and I guess we're going back in March. When I went to Kentucky, it was very hot every day. It was about 95 degrees there every day, and I just had open heart surgery in March. My doctor cleared me to go, so I went down. They sent me home every day at 1 o'clock because they were smarter than I am. And I appreciate that. I worked with a guy named Jack. Jack had just started working for just Samaritan's Purse in February. The prior 14 years, he did mission work overseas. He did it in Ukraine, Eastern Ukraine. He married a girl from Ukraine. Jack, in January of last year, was told by the American Embassy, you better get out because it doesn't look good here. Jack left. His wife couldn't get out. When I was working with Jack, they got her to France. She was with the American Embassy the last day we were down there and tried to make an appointment to get her paperwork done so she could come to the United States. But she couldn't get an appointment. This was June, so she couldn't get an appointment until September. Hopefully everything worked out for them. I asked Jack, where are you going to live? Each one of the employees for Samaritan's Purse had a little trailer out back of the church where we stayed. And Jack said they were going to live there until they made enough money to buy a house. Jack had two other problems. Or had another problem getting his wife out. Also, his mother-in-law was still in Ukraine with his nephew. People 80 and 90 years old don't want to leave their house. They don't want to leave the country. So apparently his mother-in-law didn't want to leave. Hopefully everything worked out for him. But it doesn't look good in Ukraine. Prayers for Ukraine are quite, they're happy to get them. I don't understand. Nobody ever wins more, not even 50 years later. In fact, Samaritan's Purse for everything they do. I think they had like 6 crews there, and there was 40 volunteers. The following week, there was going to be like 140 volunteers. On the other side of town, there was a VA building that the tornado went through, and 100 veterans were there that week, putting that building back up. As we drove to the house every day, there was 2 city blocks completely wiped out. Third city block had 1 building on, it was a brick building. It was all boarded up. Someone set up a city hall. The house we worked on, in the middle of the house, was a bathroom, laundry room. It was 11 feet by 11 feet. It was referred to as a safe room. It was built out of concrete blocks all the way around. After each row of concrete blocks, they poured concrete in the holes. The roof, we did the framing for the roof, which is going to be a concrete ceiling. In the bathroom. If another tornado comes through, it's able to withstand winds 180 to 200 miles an hour. The thought of it makes you sick. The last time they had a tornado was 41 years ago. People that lived in the house, the mother and father in North Carolina, when the tornado came through. The tornado came through with a mother-in-law in the house and 2 young children. They were in the back of the house. Tornado took the front of the house off. It's something to see. It was in a poor side of town. The house next door had a foundation made out of brick, not blocks. It was condemned. The second day we were there, the husband and wife came, and the wife walked down back in the grass, high grass, and found a Pyrex dish. The only thing she had left from the house. They were happy to get the new house. This was June. They weren't putting it in until I think October. No one ever gets through life on their own. Everyone needs help. It's a claim to help them when you can, if you can. I thank Samaritan's Choice for a person for everything they do and every volunteer that helps in any way they can help.
To have been involved in 4 mission projects or trips, although Steve tells me it's 5 actually. The first was and still is the Christmas Child shoeboxes, which I became involved with many years ago when our children were young, and we made and sent 3 shoeboxes. As you all know, that mission has grown to a very large project within the church here that pretty much everyone is involved with in some way, whether it's donating items, wrapping boxes, filling them, making chicken and waffles, or going along to the processing center. Steve and I were able to go to Boone, North Carolina to process shoeboxes in 2015, and then again to Charlotte in 2017 with the church. It was so impactful to pray over the boxes with numerous others and to hear the testimonies of recipients of the boxes, as well as those who had gone that next step and delivered them. It made us truly appreciate the effect of our efforts. The next mission trip was to Parchment Valley. We were there to do general maintenance work and to get it ready for the summer camp and programs. And we were blessed to make new friends among the Center Association churches, as well as strengthen our bonds with each other. The third trip was a game changer. We went to Mayfield, Kentucky for a rebuild with Samaritan's Purse. Rather unprepared in retrospect.
While we were housed and fed well, we worked much harder and were challenged by the debilitating heat and humidity. We never, who knew Kentucky got this hot? Part of the reason for going on this trip was to see if this was something we wanted to do more of in the future. And after the first day moving dirt and rocks in the heat, we were questioning if this was God's plan for us. After some reflection, we realized that perhaps this was a lesson. While it was challenging work, it was little to nothing compared to what the residents of Mayfield were experiencing or had experienced due to those tornadoes that they had gone through. But even in all that destruction and devastation, God shone through. Through the natural beauty that remained intact, the full-time workers at Samaritan's Purse who had left their homes and jobs for a two-year commitment to this rebuild, and to the opportunities we had to show and share God's love. Once again, we got to know the others in our group a little bit better, and we got to meet other Christians who shared in our desire to share the gospel. Well, obviously, Kentucky didn't scare us off since we did that fourth trip, or fifth. Again, with Samaritan's Purse, but this time with disaster relief in Englewood, Florida, post-Hurricane Ian. This was a challenging trip in different ways. Since we went only 1 month after the hurricane, housing and basic necessities still weren't readily available. We were blessed to find a local home to rent that had been spared. Once again, there was an air of excitement surrounding our ability to help in God's name. We got to share with and listen to the homeowners we helped, as well as our coworkers who had some personal testimonies to share as well. We also learned most volunteers knew about Samaritan's Purse through the shoeboxes, and that's the part that had led them to volunteer. On this trip, it was only Steve and I in the group, but we quickly learned our group was really all of our coworkers. It was so easy to talk to the other workers and get to know one another better and feel as though we had made some genuine new Christian friends. As our team leader told us on our last day, I'll see you here, there, or in the air. So, in conclusion from the trip so far, I've learned you get way more than you can ever get by going. You enter a bubble during the time you're there. This world fades and your faith grows. Faith that we're serving a mighty God who's in control. Faith that we have something to offer and share with others. Faith that we are personally grown closer to Jesus and all he has to offer. And faith that, yes, there will be more trips in our future.
Not as organized as the rest of these folks. I just wipe my seat in my pants. I've been privileged and really appreciate the opportunities that I have had. That video this morning with Samaritan's Purse, that just gets me. It's not just about, and you guys are all part of it, it's not just about what we're putting in that box. That box is a tool to get the gospel to these other countries and these children and these families that might not otherwise be able to receive it or hear it. So you guys are all part of that. And that's just awesome. Like Allison said, no matter what it is that you do, whether you make waffles, whether you buy a pack of crayons or a coloring book or whatever it is, we're all part of that. And when you sit back and think about that, it is just, it's for me, it's mind-blowing. So going to the packing center was one of the first ones, and that was very rewarding. Like others have said, you get more out of it than what you put into it. We all had a good time, a fellowship there, and I'm going to confess, I didn't like the bus trip, but that was a little torturous. But, you know, praying over those boxes, when everyone in that ginormous packing center stops and lays their hands on a box and prays, I can't even describe it. It was just again, I'm an emotional person, so I'm crying while they're praying, and so, but it's just, I can't describe it. And if you get the opportunity to go, again, I mean, we pray for them here, but when they pray in that ginormous place, all those people with hands on boxes, it's amazing. Went to West Virginia. That was rewarding as well. We get to help with camp, like these guys have mentioned, all the things that the camp has done. Tammy survived my driving the whole way there. But I mean, it was a good time of fellowship, and again, the things that there was something for everybody to do, no matter what your physical abilities were. Some way you could contribute. And then the Kentucky thing was, again, that was a little rough for a lot of reasons. You know, the first day we drove into town, again, you can't, you know, you hear these things on the news, but when you physically see them in person, it just, I don't know. Again, it was hard for me that first day in there, but it's just unbelievable. But it's again, an opportunity, and the way you can touch these people's lives. The opportunity that we got to meet the homeowners and how grateful they were. These people didn't have a lot to begin with, and they lost everything. So it was just, it was just amazing. Sorry. I knew it. I know, but it's just, I can't describe it. You have to experience it yourself. But, and again, you guys not, I understand there's people that can't physically go there or do or whatever, but you guys contributing to the different things, the fundraisers and whatnot, you know, you're all helping in that aspect. So, but yeah, that was a little grueling, kind of like Allison said, or first we thought we'd bit off more than we could chew. I mean, the first day, I think that is the worst state I was ever in. I thought I was going to die. it was rough, but again, very rewarding. I'm one that's a little apprehensive when I don't know what to expect, like our stay, where we were going to stay, who we were staying with, showering in trailers. I actually had Pastor Chris send me a video, so I knew what to expect, because I was like, am I going to be able to do this? But hey, we did pretty good. We had showers down to like 5 minutes. We had 5 minutes in the trailer, in the shower, undress. You're 100 degrees, so you're already, everything's sticking to you. Get it all back on, get out. Because there's more people having the showers. So, but that was a very rewarding experience with meeting the homeowners. We met other people, a gang from some Beach Boys from California, a youth group, a very young group that was there working. And those kids worked hard. They worked hard. But it's just a very, again, rewarding. It's just amazing how God can use us in those aspects. And, you know, I did find some old pictures. I'm not very good at, this whole, I'm not technically blessed like Pastor Chris was. So I did find some old, you know, and there's also things that we've done in the community here, Dee and some other ones that helped, Randy that helped with the ramp and stuff for Pletchers. And I know some of you went over and built the ramp for Pastor Chris. So, you know, not necessarily traveling isn't for everybody, but there's a lot of ways that this little community church does missions, all the things that ABW does. I did put pictures of backpack on there because that's another mission that we do as a church and for this community. So there's a lot that we all contribute to, and we're blessed to have those opportunities. But if I didn't have to work for a living, I would like to, you know, be able to serve more on, you know, with the Samaritan's Purse. They have an amazing program, and that was the other thing that I was in awe about. Talked a little bit about the workers for Samaritan's Purse, but they in Kentucky gave a 2-year commitment to be there. A young man who had 3 young children gave up his contracting business and committed him and his family to work for Samaritan's Purse. Now, I don't know what these people get paid. I can't imagine it's a lot, but I mean, they do hire people and they live in those trailers. Three rambunctious little boys in one of these motor homes. And that's a sacrifice, and that was a testimony to hear some of the things, how some of those people got there and what they left behind in order to serve God and serve the people. Is just, that is another blessing that you hear. You talk about Jack, he was an awesome guy. Because they were all awesome, very patient with us. Because they expected us. I mean, that was the idea. There weren't a lot of us with a lot of skills. But we built a deck. And by God's grace, nobody like cut off an arm or anything. So we did learn some skills. I might have gotten in trouble by the safety people because I have my hand too close to the chop saw. But, you know, we learned a lot in that aspect too. I think between Susan, Allison, and I, we can build a deck. I'm just saying. But the workers with Samaritan's Purse are very, very, they were very patient with us, even when I used the wrong router bit on the deck. They were very patient with us and helped us learn new skills. So it is so a blessing in so many ways I can't even put it all, you know, into words. So again, I would be honored to do another one and appreciate everybody's support in any way that it comes.
Hi, these ladies did the rest of the message. And the gentleman did the rest of the message for you. My own personal experience, the feeling that most describes my experience at the Shoebox Center, Parchment Valley, and Samaritan's Purse is rightness. While it's normal, when you're there, it's normal to talk about Jesus in everyday terms. And we're not even in a church. In my day job, I lift a 3-pound computer at most, but on being on a work site, you can feel like Superman, tearing down a wall or helping to build one. Plus, free t-shirt, although these you earn. The ladies didn't mention I like the Samaritan's Purse. Somebody told us this last time. If you've seen the insignia there, it's a cross. But this is Jesus in the storm. And the quote there is, go and do likewise from the Great Samaritan verse. Allison said, it does feel like you're in a bubble where all is right with the world. Yes, even this world that we're in right now. You're beating the hands and feet of Jesus, demonstrating God's love in a very tangible way. And the troubles of this world do just melt away, and it feels like you're living life the way we all should all the time. So I guess what some of you may be thinking, I couldn't do that. I don't have the time or energy or know-how, you name it. And due to health, life circumstances, or whatever, you may not be able to go physically. But what you can do, every one of us can and should do, is pray. We should be praying for our fellow Christians around the world and the others to become Christians. Look back at our verse. Go and make disciples. We aren't given a pass. He didn't say, some of you do this. As Christians, we're all commanded to go and tell. But why? Ultimately to tell of Jesus and his love and the saving grace. We don't even have to leave our neighborhoods. We can go tell a neighbor, invite them to church. We can pack a shoebox or help with that. Wanted to read quick a message. This was actually from our Sunday school a few weeks ago. There is no culture, no people group, no nation where he is not most needed, most important gift that can be given. More than food for the hungry or deliverance from oppression, the good news of salvation is the best Christmas gift that can be given to the world. It is the only gift that lasts for all eternity, the one gift that gives people not only peace for today, but also hope for tomorrow, lasting freedom, and eternal joy. For many, that gift, the good news of salvation, does actually come wrapped in a bright, colorful, cheerful box in the unassuming form of a shoebox. Unassuming, like Jesus in a manger. That was our Christmas message a couple weeks ago. So you don't have to go far. Right here in Blanchard, church has done mission work, deliver meals, building decks. Just recently, Dee and Denny finished the windows on for a family that was having a lot of medical issues. They completed the windows so that they could move into their home. So again, what is our purpose? As Gail Comfer said recently, to expand his kingdom. She asked, what is God's kingdom purpose for giving me what he's given me? That's what we need to ask ourselves. So what if you do want to go? Listen up, you're going to have opportunities. For example, in just a couple of months, the Center Association is going to make a trip, another trip to Parchment Valley in West Virginia, and that's the week of March 26th to the 31st. So mark your calendars. We'll be making plans soon. See Allison or Peg or I, and we'll get that coordinated. Let us know if we can get there. Also, we may be able to get some grant money from Abcabat to help us with that. In addition to the actual work itself, you meet people and make connections. That's where we met Donnie, who's speaking again soon. Lanny, Kathy, who just spoke last week and attends here now. We all met at Parchment Valley. My prayer is that there will be even more of us up here next time. Finally, the main reason we want to do these things is to tell about Jesus and his love for us. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, then come up here and join his family right now, today, while we sing. Go to the